an interesting point I learned when I approached Brother David about offering prayer. He said, Brother Edgar was the first discourse I had ever heard, so how fitting that is. Brethren, another privilege for us this morning, Brother Edgar's discourse today, is the School of Christ, discipleship from A to Z. The School of Christ, discipleship from A to Z. Brother Edgar.
Thank you, Brother Mark, and thank David. I'm not sure if I gave the love of the friends from Jackson. I forgot. I'm doing it now. Also, the love of my beloved sister Erna, my brother-in-law Wally, who also is beloved. I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, know that Erna had ovarian cancer, and she had an operation. She had all this chemotherapy, and it really didn't do the job of completely getting rid of all the cancer. She's gone to holistic medicine now, and it seems to be working, at least at this moment. And perhaps you all have known, maybe not. They've only had a mild heart attack at our convention, and that he was told that he needed a quadruple bypass. He said no. And he's trying this chelation, if you heard what that is. And at the moment, he's had 5 treatments, and it seems to be working. So the Lord will be done, whatever it be. But they send their love. And one other thing I was asked, there was apparently someone who came to this area whose name was Buckley, and I wondered if there was any relation. Well, truth be told, I've only been a Buckley for 60 years. My mother, well, my dad died when I was only 6 years old. And from that time until my mother married, I was Rambo. And that Rambo was R-A-M-B-E-A-U. That was before there was a Rambo come along at R-A-M-B-O. But I've been a Buckley long enough now that my name is Edgar V. Buckley. And actually, I'm a junior because my dad was Edgar Vincent also. We're in school. Truth be told, we've been in school since we were born. From the time we're born, it's a learning process. Although we realize until you get to that point where you realize and understand that you are alive. And you begin to learn. Might ask the question, what is the last first thing you can remember that you remembered? Can you remember when you were 2 years old or 3 years old or whatever? Can you remember your early age? Can you remember as you're growing up what you learned? We've had a blessed privilege of having parents who brought us up the best they could. Beloved parents, some precious in the Lord, some who were not in the Lord. But nevertheless, we learned in the beginning from our parents. And we actually were in a school, but not an organized one. So we look back. We look back to the first schooling we had that was organized, that we were with others. Ah, yeah, that's where the learning process truly began. Oh, yes, before we got into kindergarten, we played with other kids. And sometimes we have a matter of We had a toy, and the neighbors wanted to play with it. No. That's one of the first things we learned, no. We had something, we kept it because this is the way he felt, which, of course, was that selfishness that already beginning to be ingrained in us. But when we got to kindergarten, then we began to learn with others. And that's something that is the beginning of our basic learning. I don't know how many of you read across the piece that I think is beautiful in pointing out basically what life is all about. It's entitled All I Ever Really Needed to Know. I learned in kindergarten. I'm bringing it forth because this is basic living. Most of what I really need to know about how to live and what to do and how to be, I learned in kindergarten. Wisdom was not at the top of the graduate school. It's a mountain, but there in the sandbox at nursery school. These are the things I learned. Share everything. Play fair. Don't hit people. Put things back when you found them or where you found them. Clean up your mess. Don't take things that aren't yours. Say you're sorry when you hurt somebody. Wash your hands before you eat. Flush. Warm cookies and cold milk are good for you. Live a balanced life. Learn some and think some and draw and paint and sing and dance and play and work every day. Some. Take a nap every afternoon. When you go out into the world, watch for traffic. Hold hands and stick together. Be aware of wonder. The wonders of this world. Be aware of that. Remember the little seed? That seed is in a plastic cup. The roots go down and the plant goes up and nobody really knows how or why, but we're all like that. Goldfish and hamsters and white mice and even the little seed in the plastic cup, they all die. So do we. And then remember the book about Dick and Jane. And the first word you learned, the biggest word of all, look. Look with your eyes, look with your mind, look with your heart. In that book, Dick and Jane, everything you need to know is in there somewhere. The golden rule and love and basic sanitation, ecology and politics and sane living. Think of what a better world it would be if we all, the whole world, had cookies and milk about 3 o'clock every afternoon and then lay down with our blankets for a nap. The world would kind of just take a little siesta. Maybe everybody indeed would have harmony with one another and be so much better. Or if we had a basic policy in our nation and other nations to always put things back where we found them and clean up our own messes. And it's still true. No matter how old you are, when you go out into the world, it is best to hold hands and stick together. I think that's a picture that is precious for just basic learning as we begin to grow up. But then we continue on in school, and we're in grade school. Something a little 10-year-old wrote. For the rules of her school. This is what she learned and wrote down as the rules of the school that she sought. She said, don't push your shove. That's number one. Take turns. Don't say bad words. Say please and thank you. Help one another. Sit up straight. Don't fidget. Keep your eyes to yourself. Don't spit. Do what the teacher says. This is what she learned. When we were in grade school, we were graded. Not only a matter of ABC, but they had also all these things in the deportment. Your attitude towards schoolwork. Then they had citizenship. And they had these all listed. And this is what you had as far as attitude towards schoolwork. How you applied yourself. Your written work, your recitations, your attention, your promptness, your study habits. Use of references. Your consultations with a teacher. How you measure up to ability. Your progress in work. Measured it. We were graded on those things. And then as far as citizenship was concerned, as to your obedience, your self-control, your courtesy, your care of your books and your property, your cooperation with a teacher and with others. Your loyalty to the school. Your health habits, your personal appearance, your morals. All of those things. Well, by the Lord's grace, we've gone beyond that. Some have gone to college. Some of us have not. But we continue to learn and we continue to grow in our understanding of what life is all about. At one point in time, for each of us who have reached that point where we became a disciple of Jesus. A disciple is one who learns, a learner, a pupil, if you will. And here we are in the school of Christ. No better school could there be. The precious opportunity to learn to be like Christ, to follow Christ, to imitate and emulate Him. So we look at the ABCs of discipleship, and actually from A to Z. But one thing that Brother Russell has pointed out, and which we like to remember, is that in the learning process, there are four ways that you learn. And one of them pointed out is being intuition. Well, the only one that we know really that had intuition was Christ our Lord. That intuitive knowledge, although we speak about the intuition of a woman who just seems to have something to let her have a feeling that something's happening of someone or her loved ones who is not around, but yet she has that somewhat of an intuitive knowledge and then learn later that, yes, something did happen. But for the most part, we can't learn that way. But then there's a matter of observation, a matter of what we see, a matter of what we observe, a matter of that which unfolds before us day by day. And then what we learn by knowledge. Here we have the matter of the books, the matter of the understanding of those that are collected from all the years before that are brought forth in books, and the knowledge that comes therefrom, and the learning of it. And actually, as far as the knowledge is concerned, is our observation, what we learn from that, in becomes knowledge of those things we know from that observation. But the greatest learning of all is that by experience. What we go through. To look back on those things that we have lived, experienced. If we stop and we think that who we are at this very moment is that which we have accumulated all of our lives and learned and applied and lived and continue in our efforts to learn. So we look at the school of Christ as a disciple, as a learner, as a pupil, as one who learning the ways of our Master that we might walk in them in His footsteps. And we're going to start out with the ABCs. All very simple, all which we know. We think of the 2 Corinthians 11:3, where it speaks about the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. And the realization that basically the ABCs of discipleship are the matter of the atonement and the acceptance of it to live under His blood. The baptism into His death, immersed completely into His death. And the consecration that takes place at the time that we make that decision and we go to the Lord in prayer and offer our all. That's the ABCs of discipleship and the beginning thereof. And for those who are taking the scriptures down, I'm not going to have time. I'd like to get through this if I can. I won't be reading them. But as far as the atonement is concerned, in 1 Timothy 2:5-6, where we have one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all, that atonement, in the understanding of what that means. That He, who was God's Son, who was made flesh and dwelt among us, was slain. That is to say, His life was taken, even though He was a perfect man. The scriptures were emphatic, the need, the necessity of which He knew, and the knowledge He had, and looking back at Isaiah 53, and all that goes therewith. When He was died on the cross, the blood that was slain, the life that was perfect, the life rights that He left, for He had the right to live. Those are the right life that we can avail ourselves of. And with that, in asking forgiveness, accepting Him as our personal Savior, that therefore we can present it to God as Christ, that is to say, to present it to Christ, to present it to God, that we become His disciple. That as I spoke, we are His. Bought with a price. The ABCs. Discipleship and learning is a matter of discipline. To keep one's body under. To bring it into subjection. As we have in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, in the 27th verse. to some people, discipline is a dirty word. That's not something they want to deal with. Growing up and as teenagers, we found that discipline is really not something we want anything to do with. But it is this matter of not only learning discipline, but applying it, actually doing it. I recall that somewhere, I'm not sure whether it was read or where I heard it, but that Brother Russell loved peanuts. And he would go around with these peanuts, a sack of a peanut, small sack probably, in his pocket. But he wouldn't take any. He had something that he loved here, but something that he felt that you just can't have them anytime you want, and that it's here, but I'm not partaking. A discipline that can do what the old man, the body, wants to do, but it is better not to do. The thing that we've learned in a matter of living a healthy life is that whatever you like, it's not good for you. So, putting aside those things, which, if you know they're not good for you, you don't partake of them. I confess that ice cream's mine. I eat ice cream every day. But you know, I've got to that point. No. It's not good for you, really. But once in a while. But the discipline, this is only a crude illustration, but just simply the matter of fact, that in discipline, to be able to abstain, to leave, let be, if it is that which is not the best for you. Then we come to a matter of endurance. As a disciple of Christ, we're walking in this narrow way until the Lord says it is enough. And as we walk, and sometimes we will realize the more, it becomes more and more difficult in many ways. Not only in the matter of trying and striving to follow the Master, but also in those who are without, who are in a disagreement with us, who are completely contrary to us, and who let us know in sometimes very, very I sometimes strive for words and it can be to the extreme, in fact, to the point that we're killed. And which is enumerated yesterday of some of the things that they went through earlier in the gospel age. But let's turn to 2 Timothy, the second chapter, in the third verse. 2 Timothy 2 and 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as good soldiers of Christ. Something that we must learn. The old creature, the old man, be it far from you, but as the new creature, to be able to endure whatever the hardness may be. Whether it be a matter of rejection or a persecution of any kind, to be able to endure that and endure that unto the end. This is part of the learning process as followers of the Master. And then it's a matter of faith. It's all a matter of faith. We all know Hebrews 11:1. We're all well familiar therewith. That it is something that we do not see. We have seen our Master at no time, nor our Heavenly Father, but we believe and receive and confess that which is brought forth unto us. And we walk by that faith. Whereas Hebrews 11:1 defines it, we also have 2 Corinthians 5:7 that we walk by faith. And that which we see not, but believe, and not by sight. As a disciple, we will develop within us a giving nature to give, which is better than receiving. 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, 7th verse. 2 Corinthians 9 and 7. Every man, according as his purpose in his heart, or purposes in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. To be able to be a giver, to give to others, to give of our time, of our talent, of our finances, or whatever it is. This is one of the beautiful things of dear Polish sisters. I had one in particular that I knew so very well. You could not walk into her kitchen without you had something to eat before you went out. That was a cheerful giver. She gave of her time, she gave of her means, she gave of that which she had. And that is what we trust that we can do, that we give. Whatever it is, our time for our brother or our sister when it comes to a need that they have. That anything we have that it is possible, we give. And with some, it comes more naturally and easy than others. But it is that matter of giving of all we have, whatever it may be, for it's all already given to the Heavenly Father. But then also it's a matter of humility, of understanding that it all comes from God. It's all a matter of that which we understand and realize to begin with, that we're undone. And that we need a Savior. And that we come to God, approaching Him through Christ with that attitude. A humbleness of understanding that the only way we're going to live in the acceptance of Jesus. And then, as we enter the narrow way, the constant prayer every day to the Heavenly Father for help. For we of ourselves can do nothing. That's humility. The scripture of 1 Peter, 5th chapter, the 5th and 6th verses, which simply states that God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. And then there's a matter of integrity, a matter of what Ralph Gaunt used to call a rigorous honesty, an integrity that honest in all our dealings, whatever they may be. The scripture is 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, in the 12th verse. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 12. that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. That honesty, that in whatever we do, let it be as honest as we can be. The kind of an honesty that even in the matter of financial dealings, where we find that we were short 3 cents or whatever it is, or we find that someone has lost something with the desire of seeing it restored if we can. It's a matter of not only an honesty and an integrity of doing what we can. To be an honest follower of the Master. And then we go to the matter of being justified. And we have there in the scripture in Romans, the 5th chapter, from 9 to 11. Now, justification was talked about yesterday. And the full justification that is in Christ Jesus. Let's turn to that and read it. Romans, the 5th chapter, from 9 to 11. How much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Completely justified by his blood. And then it comes a matter of knowledge of those things which we learn. We have in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, in the 18th verse, where we have this matter of a step of grace and a step of knowledge. And as we continue in the understanding of the divine plan and its purpose, that which the Lord has purposed, and those things which we learn day by day in the various features thereof, learning of the chart and what it means of all the things whereby what God proposes for the world of mankind, and to be able to give to others, that we have learned for ourselves. And then it comes to a matter of love for one another, which we have in John, the 13th chapter, from 34 to 35. John 13, 34 and 35. Set a new commandments I give unto thee, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And you stop and think, as I have loved you, you love one another. In other words, a matter of the kind of a love that Christ has exemplified, that love which is willing to lay down your life for the brethren. And sometimes you think of it as a love that leaves love, a love that wounds love, a love that loses love, but still loving steadfast unto the end. The kind of love that is a disinterested love. Then we come to mercy. Ah, yes, merciful. Ha, 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 ha. Merciful, we understand that it saint means merciful. And to understand of ourselves how far short we fall, and therefore the things that we do we ought not, then anyone transgress us, anyone in any way hurts us, that we understand that we have done those things ourselves at some time or other. Ah, yes, to be merciful to others, the kind of a mercy that can bring tears to your eyes. An elder who can cry. Any who follow the Master who have that feeling within, that are touched with a feeling
of the sorrows,
the tears of others.
Merciful.
Ah, that's a subject in and of itself. To be noble. The kind of nobility that spoke of in Acts 17:11. That those in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the truth with all readiness of heart. And they went to scriptures to prove that they are so. A matter of obedience. I find it, my time is up. But once again, I find myself quickly pointing out, continuing on with the A to Z. It's a matter of obedience. There's a purpose involved. There's a reason why we're following the Master. It's not yet the matter of it's there for us to do, and therefore we do it. But there's a purpose. And we have Romans 8:28 for that. And those of you who are writing it down in obedience, obeying the truth is 1 Peter 1:22. The matter of quietness. Study to be quiet. Reconciliation. We have that ministry of reconciliation. Ambassadors for Christ. We have the ministry, the service of reconciliation. And then there's a matter of study. It's that continual study, day by day, absorbing the truth and the beauty thereof. And as you note in that study, it is the truth that you are studying, and you are understanding what the will of the Lord is, what His purpose are, what His plans are, and what He has in store for the world of mankind. And then it is time you to come to victory. Ah, yes. That's the time we're looking forward to. And as a disciple, a witness of the truth, beheaded for the witness of Jesus. And then we have that X-ray vision whereby we see that which is unseen. And it's that yoke that we have, that we take upon us with Christ as our yoke fellow as we walk that narrow way. We're not walking it alone. And finally, it is a matter of zealous, of good works, of those things whereby the Lord would have us. The zeal, the zealousness, to go forth therefore to do. Ah, yes, as disciples, as learners, as those who are pupils in the school of Christ. It is a very precious thing. It is that when the putting on Christ and the feelings that go with it, the crystallization of character that shows. And as we sang, Blessed Bible, we ourselves may be the only Bibles some people will ever read. Read and known of all men. Yes. Rejoice. Rejoice. And again I say, rejoice. We are in the school of Christ, and we are learning and rejoicing and thanking the Lord. This is our life because it is His, and we are His. We thank the Lord. We rejoice again, again, and again.
Thank you, Brother Edgar.
Continuing in the school of Christ, discipleship from A, what did A stand for? Atonement to zeal. There you go. And everything in between. Very good. Being like
children, I enjoyed the prose in the beginning, innocent, pure, and moldable. And I had the opportunity to serve at the as a cabin partner with Brother Edgar years ago at Midwest Camp, and I have the desire to be able to maintain that youthful attitude and enthusiasm and spirit. And thank you for being with us this weekend, Brother Edgar.